Today on the Fantasy Baseball Today podcast, we look at some potentially under-owned players. We've got a new call-up for the Houston Astros, someone that Heath already picked up in two leagues this morning, which alerted me to the news that he was in fact called up. Some players that we're looking to acquire via trade, and much, much more. Jose Berríos, are we done with him? Sean Manaea, are we back on the train? What's up, Heath and Chris? Apparently, Chris is just livid this morning.
Yeah.
No.
Chris is not happy with the fact that Jean Segura is still hitting well. He would like for Jean Segura to go back to being Jean Segura.
What's up with that, Chris?
It's nothing personal. I just don't think he's very good. And we do these... We do these player videos. Heath and I do them Tuesdays and Thursdays. Al and Scott do the rest of the days. And maybe it's just that I keep getting Jean Segura, but I feel like I've done only Jean Segura videos this season.
And actually, you've only done two.
No. I've done him at least three or four times.
He does lead the majors in hits.
I'm sure he does. That is terrific for him.
He's got an 872 OPS.
I'm sure he does.
Chris,
that
I think...
it's terrific for him.
I think, look, the thing is with Segura, is I believe he was a top 12 shortstop in Roto last year just because of the steals. But also, now you got a guy who goes from the Brewers to leading off for the Diamondbacks. That means a lot of at-bats and probably a lot of runs scored. So there's a pretty high floor just with that.
If he was hitting 257, nobody would be excited about him, right?
If he were hitting 257,
no, if he was hitting 257, it would be, okay, I'm starting Jean Segura.
Right.
I hope I can find an upgrade at shortstop. Would he be Alcides Escobar.
Would he still have a 500 slug?
Like no.
257 with a 500
no,
slug?
No, he's not hitting like Jean Segura. If this proves to be sustainable, then he's an improved player. I'm not buying it.
Well, you can say that in the videos.
That's what I say every single time. I'm tired of saying it.
That's why I took it away from you today.
I had to pass it off to you last Friday. We're not even 4 days removed from the last time we had to do this stupid video.
Oh, man. Well, how about Trevor Story or Jean Segura?
I have Story ranked just barely ahead of him.
I would rather have Story.
How about Brandon Crawford or Jean Segura?
I would rather have Brandon Crawford.
No,
Crawford
you would not.
I have Crawford ahead of him.
Really?
Yeah.
I was just saying that off the top of my head.
I'd have to, I don't know. I think I'd have to disagree with you guys on that one. Because again, I mean, there's a pretty high floor, I think, for Segura. As long as he keeps that leadoff spot, he just with runs and steals, he's going to be productive. And I am worried about Crawford sitting against lefties. I'm not sure how long that's going to last, but he's not hitting lefties. Kelby Tomlinson is. Crawford, like, you want to talk about Jean Segura had one good half a year. I feel like Brandon Crawford had one good half of his season.
I mean, seriously, make the case for Jean Segura ahead of, like, Alcides Escobar in just not what he's done for the last 38 games, but in terms of his actual skill set.
I think, at least with Segura, I see the comparison, first of all. Going into the year, I see a very similar comparison. I think at least
he has more pop.
In terms of Segura, I think there's more upside. I think there's a guy who at least for a half a year was great. I don't know that Alcides Escobar has ever done that. You know what you're getting with him. Is that fair?
I think you know what you're getting with Jean Segura. It's great that he's had a good month and a half, but like, yeah, no.
All right.
Sorry, I'm not buying it. It's going to be like September 22nd, and I'm finally he's going to be... he's going to be on his way to an all-star, to an MVP, and I'm going to be, all right, fine. I guess Jean Segura is good.
Fine. Speaking of second baseman that Chris did buy into, Chris wrote a piece that we should talk about yesterday, because, I mean, Chris wrote a piece.
That's what we do. Yeah, I mean, we talk about
Heath
that.
Only wants to talk about the things that I write if they agree with him.
He basically wrote a Heath was right piece about Jose Altuve. And I enjoyed it. I tweeted it out.
All right. Well, give me the gist of it.
I was right. Jose Altuve is a top three hitter in baseball.
So
we had one of these head-to-head things. We do it once a week where two of the four of us will go back and forth on a certain issue.
Yeah, I enjoy those, by the way.
Three weeks ago, Chris and I's issue was, has the top five changed any? Who are your top five hitters? And I put Altuve third. And Chris didn't put him in the top five. He got a little upset with me for putting him third. And now Chris has moved him into that category.
I mean, let's keep it 100, though. I also wrote about how wrong you were about Ian Desmond.
That's true.
So
I didn't want to talk about
it's
that.
It's not all good news.
100.
In Heathville.
Well, we're going to save some time for Ian Desmond a little bit later. I want to get to what we saw yesterday. It wasn't the most eventful day. We do have to talk about Garrett Richards, who is not having Tommy John surgery. Email us at fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. Fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. You know, yesterday, the pitchers that there weren't a lot of good pitchers yesterday, but the ones that were supposed to be good were terrible. So we'll talk about that. And I think this is going to be a quasi mailbag show since there were only 8 games yesterday. I have some emails kind of earlier in the notes today. So yeah, first of all, I want to tell you guys that I love interleague play and I want to know how you feel about that. Absolutely love it. I think it's the greatest thing that's ever happened to baseball.
I saw a stat yesterday that I think the Royals are the winningest team in interleague play. So yeah, I've enjoyed it.
The only argument against interleague play is we didn't used to do this, right? Like that's the only,
I think there is,
like, it is good that fans get to see more players.
It's more fun. I don't like the fact that the two different leagues have different rules. As far as interleague play goes, I think and I'd like to see what the actual numbers say on this, but I feel like it's an unfair home field advantage in interleague play. Whichever team's home. Like American or National League teams, because the other team is either,
I think American League teams always have an advantage because they're going to have an extra hitter.
But they don't in the National League Park.
But they have a better bench hitter available.
That's true.
Yeah, their pitchers probably are awful, though.
And American League teams are generally just better.
Obviously, yeah. Okay, well, thank you. I'm glad we like interleague play on the show. I don't understand the pushback for it. Garrett Richards, guys, PRP injection, platelet-rich plasma injection, instead of Tommy John surgery. Richards will be shut down for 6 weeks before starting a throwing program. I guess the easiest comparison to make is Masahiro Tanaka. So here's what happened with Tanaka. He missed 2.5 months with a partially torn UCL in 2014, and he came back and only made 2 starts before the season ended. He came back right at the end of the year. His first start was encouraging, 5 1/3, 5 hits, 1 run, no walks, 4 strikeouts against Toronto. His next start was awful, 5 runs in an inning and 2/3 at Boston. I don't think you can draw anything from that. So anyway, if Garrett Richards is out there, do you think it's important to stash him in a DL spot?
Not really. If you have the DL spot available, sure, but the chances of him actually coming back and making a real impact seem extremely low.
Also, looking at what's gone on with Tanaka pre-injury and post-injury, I almost wish Garrett Richards would have the surgery. I don't know that he's ever going to be as good as he was.
Some guys don't like surgery.
Yeah.
That's a personal prerogative.
That's fine. Okay.
I guess the idea would be that it's probably going to cost him all of this season and most of next season either way. And so if he has the surgery and it takes 14 months for him to get back, he doesn't get back until July or August of 2016 or 2017 anyway. Whereas if he does this, maybe he can come back this season and have all of next season.
Yeah. I did pick him up. Stashing Richards now, it just seems like the kind of thing where I'm going to drop him for another DL-bound player at some point. But, you know, why not? Why not right now take a chance on Garrett Richards and see where that goes? The Angels signed Tim Lincecum. I'm going to guess very tepid interest in Lincecum, guys.
I'm not adding him in any leagues, but right. I hope that he does well.
75 pitchers from 2002 to 2015 threw at least 600 innings in the major leagues. Tim Lincecum was 74th in ERA, 75th in ERA plus, and 53rd in FIP.
Well, the problem I have with any stat you're going to give about how bad Lincecum is, and I was always on this podcast, always off the Lincecum bandwagon. I couldn't believe people still had faith in him. But he was pitching with degenerative hips. I don't know how long that lasted, but, you know, he had hip surgery, and that could be a big deal. I'm not even considering picking him up. But I want to give him the benefit of the doubt because I think he was pitching through something.
It's possible. You can look at some guys like maybe Scott Kazmir, Francisco Liriano, who seemed to be done and then came back and were able to pitch effectively. So there are a few... you know, Rich Hill, another one, but I'm not a doctor, but I can't imagine degenerative hips get better as you age.
They do after surgery. I mean, it happened with Alex Rodriguez. He had hip surgery, and it took him a little while to get back, but then he became a pretty good hitter again.
It's certainly possible. But Alex Rodriguez also didn't have a quite as long a period of just being actively bad.
I'm still cheering for him.
I would love to see it.
Colin Moran.
I'm just not at all expecting it.
Colin Moran, Astros third baseman, called up. Heath picked him up in two leagues already this morning. Congratulations, Heath. What are you expecting from Colin Moran?
I don't have any idea. I was just looking for excuses to drop the craptastic pitchers that pitched for me last night. No.
A home run every 20 or so games and like a 280 average.
Sure. Maybe a slightly more often home runs.
Yeah. I mean, just going by his minor league track record, that's about the rate.
I looked at the numbers this morning. I didn't know anything about Colin Moran. And you know, like, it's a decent slugging percentage, but probably a lot of doubles. Not a lot of home run power. So
yeah, it's a 127 slugging from a ISO from a corner infielder. You know,
yeah,
it's a home run every 13 games.
Okay, so not exactly a lot of enthusiasm here.
I mean, the leagues I picked him up in, I picked him up in the 16 team league, and I picked him up in a roto league.
And we also don't know anything about his playing time, so we'll have to see. But it's just a name we want to put on your radar. Fellas, I'm going to give you three players that I have been actively trying to acquire. And I want you to tell me if you think I'm on the right track. Taiwan Walker, I did acquire from Scott White yesterday. We made a trade in the podcast league. I think he's on his way to stardom. Agree or disagree, Taiwan Walker? Big breakout this year.
Stardom seems a little strong to me. But I have him as a top 25 pitcher. I think I have him 25th. So, yes, I think he's going to be very good.
Chris?
I have trouble with him for a number of reasons. I'm not sure he has a consistent enough third pitch, but I do think the talent is certainly worth betting on. You're buying high.
Well, that's the problem. I thought after the last couple of starts I might be able to buy low, and I really haven't at all. So
yeah,
you're right.
I thought you were trying to acquire Sonny Gray. You made a big show yesterday about how
you didn't offer me any trade. I'll make you offers. You didn't offer me
no,
one trade.
No, I said make me an offer.
No, you said off the air. You said I will make you an offer. You did
make
not make
me an
me
offer.
One.
Go back and listen to the tape.
Go back and listen to the off the air tape that doesn't exist, Heath.
The one thing I would point out with him that's been pretty consistent throughout his career is he is a reverse splits pitcher. He's actually been better against lefties than righties, and that's one way you can look at that is that gives him an extremely high floor because he doesn't have those because he's not bad against righties, he's just slightly better against lefties. So that means that all he has to do to become a bona fide, legitimate star ace type pitcher is do the thing that like Jared Eichhoff already knows how to do, which is get right-handed batters out, which seems like a lower bar to clear.
Yeah, and we're talking about Taiwan Walker here, so that's one guy. Number two is Francisco Liriano. Quite simply, I just think too good of a track record, three seasons in Pittsburgh, three good seasons. I think he'll come out of this and be fine. Agree or disagree?
The only thing that scares me about Francisco Liriano is he does not, like, he lives pretty close to the edge. In terms of whip, in terms of how he goes about doing things. And I think when he goes, he's going to go in a ball of flames. And he's been bad so far. If you can, I'm fine with trying to acquire him if you can acquire him really cheap. But I wouldn't be giving up the type of value we thought he had at the beginning of the year.
Well, I tried to give up Vince Velasquez in a trade for Liriano, and it was turned down.
I don't hate that.
Yeah, I've got them really close in my rankings, so.
And the last guy I'd like to acquire is Mark Teixeira. And my whole reason for wanting to acquire Teixeira was like, well, he's still walking, and he'll come out of it. He's one walk in his last 10 games, so I'm a little bit nervous, but I think that's just a slump. And I think Teixeira's going to have a really good streak. The only thing is, if you acquire him, make sure that he's not so important, because he will go on the DL at some point. But
and
what do you think?
There's too many other first basemen.
Yeah, it's really only one good season in his last four.
I disagree with you, though, about the first baseman. I do not think it is a deep position. I think there's pretty much garbage on the waiver wire in a lot of leagues at first base, and this is a way to get him really cheap. Because in almost all of my leagues, I would pick up Mark Teixeira if he were on waivers. And that's the reason why I haven't dropped a guy like CJ Krohn in some leagues, because I don't think Krohn is that good. But if I lose my starting first baseman, Krohn would easily be the best option available. I mean, first base waiver wire is really ugly in most of my leagues.
Yeah.
That's kind of something that stood out to me so far.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I just thank you for letting me get that off my chest. For the rest of the show, you guys get to be the analysts. Monday's standouts. Who stood out to you guys on Monday? Tell me about it.
Yan Gomes, starting to break out of his slump. He's only got 4 hits over his last 3 games, and if you go back to a 4th game, he went 0-7, but he does have 3 home runs in 3 straight games. He now has 6 on the season. And if you have Yan Gomes on your team, that's really all you're looking for, is just cheap power at the catcher position. And so the fact that he's giving that to you, is a good sign.
Okay. Would be nice if he hit above the Mendoza line, but sure. He was in the notes. Good job. Heath, stand out for you.
Look at the notes.
Gene Segura had... No. I'm just kidding. I was happy to see Paul Goldschmidt hit a home run in a situation. And something that really stood out to me is what's going on with the catcher position in Arizona. Because Chris Herman started again against a right-handed pitcher. Herman hit a home... I think he hit a home run. He's got 4 already this year. Yeah. He and Wellington Castillo have combined for 11 home runs. Castillo leads catchers in home runs, tied with Salty Lamacchia, but he seems like he's... like I'd moved him up in my top 10 catchers, and now I'm wondering if he's just a part-time player. So I think the catcher position in Arizona and who's getting the majority of the playing time is definitely something to keep an eye on.
Well, we actually had an email. I will go to it right now. And it is from, it's about Chris Herman. Where are you? There you go. It's from Isaac. He says, "Dear Abrams, Reddick, and Putz." Guys, come on.
JJs.
Those are JJs. Very good. I'm in a deep 16-team league. I have Salty Lamacchia, but is Chris Herman worth a speculative ad? And I went back and looked. I mean, Chris Herman has had a absolutely god-awful career as a hitter. Until this little stretch here with Arizona. Of course, he was playing for Minnesota, ballpark much better with the Diamondbacks. But yeah, I mean, what's your take on Chris Herman? I know Heath just talked about the Castillo effect, but what's your take on Herman, who I guess can play some outfield too?
I don't know how much that helps because, well, the Diamondbacks are already pretty crowded in the outfield, so I'm not sure being able to play outfield totally helps all that much. I need to see more. Like the track record of success is really limited.
Yeah. I think he should be added in NL only leagues.
Yeah.
In deep 2 catcher leagues, yeah, I think he's worth an add.
All right. My standout on Monday was Adam Conley, and for whatever reason I have not seen him pitch. Maybe a few pitches, that's it. And I want to know how good you guys think Adam Conley is. This was only his 3rd quality start. He was one of the better pitchers yesterday. 6 innings, 8 hits, 1 run, 1 walk, 5 strikeouts at the Philadelphia Phillies. And only 1 game with more than 95 pitches. That was when he had a no-hitter for 7 2/3 through 116 pitches at Milwaukee.
I'm going to go thoughts first, on Conley. I know Chris has a lot of things to say about Adam Conley. He's one of his favorite players in baseball. I was hoping... I don't know, and I don't think anybody does, exactly how good Adam Conley is yet, because his season has been kind of Jekyll and Hyde-ish, and I don't think we learned a lot in this start. The Phillies are one of the worst teams in all of baseball against left-handed pitchers. And yes, 1 run over 6 innings is good. 9 base runners and 5 strikeouts in 6 innings isn't really great, especially against that offense. I've got him right around a borderline number 4 starter. And I do think there's some upside there. I think there's some things to be excited about, but I don't think he's anywhere close to like definitely being a must start every week.
But no, he's not. I've got him in 1 league, I think maybe 2, and he's not someone that I start every week for sure. I did start him this week,
right,
with 2 starts. The one thing to point out though is only four starts with six innings or more. However, he's basically only made seven starts. He had the first start of the season was against the Nationals.
Awful.
He went one inning, but that it was raining by the time he took the mound in that game. So it's not, I don't know how much that is. If you take that one out, he has a 2.8 ERA, averaging 5.9 innings per start. I think he's pretty good.
All right, Adam Conley. So Conley, you know, he's clearly ahead of like Jared Eichhoff at this point, right?
Yeah, I think he is, Adam Conley's, I think he's pretty good, yeah.
Good stuff. Deep league guys. Now these players are owned in between 7 and 17% of leagues. Tell me if you're getting more interested in any of these three players. Steve Pierce, who's doing almost all of it against lefties, but 17% owned, having a good year. Kurt Casale, who is also doing all right, well, at least in the power department, 15% owned, Kurt Casale. And Trace Thompson, trying to bid for more playing time in a crowded Dodgers outfield. He's 7% owned. Steve Pierce, Kurt Casale, Trace Thompson. Do any of them interest you guys?
Pierce is definitely the most interesting of the group, I believe. Doesn't he have he's one game away from getting second base eligibility, which would be a lot more valuable in a year where there aren't 1,000 second basemen playing over their heads. But we've seen him be good before. And the fact that he's a part-time player hurts his value, but we're only 2 years away from him, 2 years removed from him hitting .293 with 21 homers.
Sounds a lot like Gene Segura to me. Right? We've seen him be good before.
Gene Segura has had they've both had a lot of bad seasons.
I will say it's kind of strange with Trace Thompson because we've not really seen him be anything but good in his limited time in the majors. He's got his numbers this year look remarkably similar last year. Slash line in Chicago in 135 plate appearances in 2015. Thompson had a .295 average, .363 on base, .533 slug. In 2016 with the Dodgers, .292, .338, .611. They've got a lot of outfielders.
And they've
got bad outfielders.
That's
what I was going to say.
Yeah.
Like I believe in Kike Hernandez, but the Dodgers clearly don't.
He's been so bad since that good start.
Crawford is awful.
Yeah.
Andre Ethier's hurt.
Howie Kendrick is playing in the outfield for them. It's ridiculous.
So,
put Thompson in.
Yeah, I kind of think maybe he should play more, but then again, you look at his minor league numbers and there's nothing to suggest that he should be this good of a hitter.
He's been really good against lefties the last couple of years in the minors. So that's something to take away from it. I think he's probably a platoon player. I don't buy him being able to hit righties in the majors, but he has been so far too.
Yeah, ESPN LA, read a couple of articles on ESPN LA today, one about Kenta Maeda, who we'll get to, but they kind of broke it down with Thompson, and it seems like he's going to play against lefties, and he's going to play against the softer tossing right-handers that don't have the electric fastballs. So I believe Jared Weaver on the mound tonight for the Angels. So if that is the case, I think he might be in the lineup again, Trace Thompson. And at this point, it might just be a daily league kind of play, but it's something to
consider. I will say, just looking at his splits, and this surprised me. Thompson has more plate appearances in his career against righties than he does lefties.
Yeah.
He's got a much better walk rate against righties, and he's got a .276, .361, .505 slash line against righties. Yeah. Again, there's nothing in the minor league numbers that suggests that Thompson is this good.
Yeah, the last couple of years, even in the minors, he was really bad against righties.
Now, let's go to the pathetic four-man rotation. Four pitchers yesterday. Oh, come on, Chris. You all right over there?
I do want to say, I thought about playing Kurt Casale in DFS last night because I believe he's good against lefties, even though there is no evidence of it. And he had a great game.
There is some evidence of it now.
He's been hitting well against lefties this season, and I should have just trusted myself and I would have won some money.
I thought we were going to have a tweet of the day in reference to the Rays last night.
We didn't, but I will make reference to it later, Heath. Don't worry. Wow. Wow. King of self-promotion. All right, the pathetic four-man rotation. These four guys were bums last night, except Smiley wasn't that bad. Got you a win. Jordan Zimmermann, 7 earned runs in 7 innings, just fell apart. No walks, 9 strikeouts. That was cool against the Twins. Jay Happ, 2 innings, 7 hits, 8 runs. This was the regression night, I guess. Drew Smiley, not a walks guy, and he was just wild yesterday. Four walks. I think he threw 10 straight balls at one point. And five innings, four hits, one run, four walks, six strikeouts at Toronto. He did get you the win, so.
He was just lucky he played against a team that can't hit.
Exactly.
Especially against lefties.
And Kenta Maeda, who struggled against the Angels, four runs in four innings, and ESPN LA had a very interesting stat on him. When Maeda, remember he's coming over, from Japan, right? Maeda?
Yeah.
Yeah. Where they pitch every 6 days. That's normal rest for them. And when he pitches on the fifth day so far, Maeda has a 5.16 ERA. When he has at least 6 days between starts, six or more days, he's a 0.74 ERA. Something interesting to keep an eye on there. Anyway, the names were Zimmerman, Hap, Smiley, Maeda. Go for it, guys.
Did John Gibbons rage bench everyone last night? Like, is that what happened? Because like half the lineup was out in the fourth inning.
Oh, maybe. Oh,
I don't think it was that early.
Well, it wasn't?
I don't think it was. Uh-huh. Donaldson definitely had an at-bat later in the game.
Okay.
Jordan Gibbons, I believe, got ejected in the fourth inning last night.
So it was the bench coach that rage benched
everyone. It may have been the bench. I think they, I mean, the game was over.
Yeah.
I was just, what I was most surprised about in that Toronto-Tampa Bay game is that Brandon Guyer got five plate appearances in a blowout against Toronto and didn't get hit by a pitch.
You know, can I just say, can you just answer the question? Can we talk about these horrible starting pitchers, folks? Come on. The audience deserves it.
With Kenta Maeda, I guess that he pitches every fifth day versus sixth day. Stat is potentially interesting, but I think it's too early to make much of that. I think the biggest thing is that he was just pitching over his head early on. Like, this is not a guy that we expected to be an ace based on the scouting reports in the, or coming over from Japan. The Japanese numbers were great, but, you know, it wasn't huge strikeout numbers. The scouting reports indicated he had kind of mid-rotation stuff at best. He only had one plus pitch. It's been the slider. It's been a really good pitch, but it's not that surprising that he's regressing. I didn't think he was going to be this good all season anyway.
Maeda or Conley, who would you rather have?
Maeda.
Maeda or Michael Wacha, who would you rather have?
That was really close, but I'll say Wacha.
Okay, what about Jordan Zimmerman? Any concerns, or this just guy coming back down to earth a little bit?
That game went south for the Tigers. Like, they started off really well, and then everything just kind of fell apart, right? And then he had some defensive issues late in the game. Didn't they have, like, three errors?
Yeah, but only one of the runs was unearned.
Yeah.
I didn't, like, I moved Zimmerman up just a couple of spots throughout the season as he was having this good run, but even more so than Maeda, he was pitching over his head. No one expected that to continue, and I'm not going to downgrade him because regression happened to come against the Twins.
There's a ceiling to how good Jordan Zimmerman can be also, I think.
What about J-Hap? J-Hap is 92% owned. Do you think he should be more like 70% owned, or do you still think J-Hap is a must-own guy?
Well, the 92%, I mean, he has two starts this week, so I wonder how much that had to do with it. I don't see him as a must-own guy, especially if the Blue Jays aren't going to be good. I mean, the one excuse you'd have for him as a must-own guy is if he's going to win 15 games because he plays for a great team, but that's not evident that that's true anymore.
I think they'll get better. I
find him or Adam Conley really interesting. I think I'd rather have Conley. I don't know if that's a homer pick.
I'd definitely rather have Conley.
Okay.
Adam Conley over J-Hap?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. Well, thank you, guys. Thank you for indulging me on the pathetic four-man rotation. Starling Marte is on paternity leave. Could miss two more games. Here are your news and notes. Billy Hamilton returned from the bereavement list. He was not in the lineup. I think he pinch hit. They are going to kind of ease him back in. He'll probably start today. Jose Peraza remained in the Reds lineup, but that might be temporary while the Reds are in an AL ballpark. Brian Dozier was back in the Twins lineup. 1-for-4 with two strikeouts and kind of a hamstring injury that he's dealing with. Steven Moya sat for Detroit. They are back at their home park. Cameron Maben was in the outfield. He stole a base. I don't know if I sold him short yesterday, but I think Maben's about 25% owned. Is he, would you rather have Jerod Dyson or Cameron Maben?
I laughed because I was actually updating my outfielder rankings this morning, asking myself that question. I believe in a roto league, I'd still rather have Dyson.
Yeah.
But it's not that far apart because I don't know. Dyson needs to have a good week, I feel like.
Okay. Kevin Pillar appears to be the Toronto leadoff hitter again, swapping with Michael Saunders. Here's a good one. Houston GM Jeff Luhnow says Carlos Gomez needs to hit or he might not get any playing time. They called up Tony Kemp, who is 5'6", which gives Houston two of the shortest players in baseball.
You know, this kind of reminds me of sometimes I will jack around too much and I'm supposed to take my kids somewhere and then I expect them to get ready in 10 or 15 minutes like I get ready. And they take longer than that, and I get frustrated, and I yell at them. And the Astros have all these parts, and they're trying everything they can to fix and fix and fix. And it's mostly leadership's fault because they thought that they'd be okay with Doug Fister instead of Vince Velasquez.
Well, that appears to be a pretty bad trade. But it wouldn't be – if Ken Giles didn't have such a bad year, I feel like their fate would be a little bit different. They wouldn't be in first place or anything like that, but bullpen meltdowns – man,
if they had a good starting pitcher.
Well, when they made the trade, they didn't know Lance McCullers was going to miss 5 to 6 weeks.
But they knew he was going to be on an innings restriction. They'd announced before the season.
Let's be clear, though. Vince Velasquez wasn't that good yet last year. Like, let's not act like there were signs, but the scouting report on Velasquez has long been might be a closer.
Is Tony Kemp an interesting prospect from a fantasy perspective?
Not particularly interested.
Okay. Alex Rodriguez expected to come off the DL Thursday. CeCe Sabathia should be back Friday. Steven Matz has no ligament damage. Good news. Still don't know if he's going to start tomorrow, but at least no ligament damage. Henderson Alvarez had a setback with his shoulder during a rehab start. The A's are expected to call up Jesse Hahn to start tonight against Texas. How about Jesse Hahn? What kind of league would you be looking to add Jesse Hahn in?
AL only?
He's not that bad. He's not that bad. Right? He's deeper mixed league, no?
Maybe a really, like, I don't think he should be on a roster in our 16-team podcast league.
I mean, one thing, in his starts that he made earlier this season, his velocity was way up. He made, what, two starts?
One or two, yeah.
He was averaging 95.5 with his four-seamer, 95.8 with his sinker. That's definitely interesting. So I will definitely keep an eye on him.
All right. And Fernando Salas got the save for the Angels last night as Joe Smith has pitched in three straight games. Yesterday, I said you should start Jordan Zimmermann in FanDuel. I insisted on putting Danny Valencia in my FanDuel lineup, and I may have scoffed at Heath's suggestion to stack the Rays against J-Hap. Oops, my bad. Well, there's good news. A whole new season starts today. Every day you get to start fresh on FanDuel. You don't have to stress about your lousy squad. You just get a new one or new ones every single day. So that's FanDuel.com, the best place to play your daily fantasy baseball. What are you waiting for, people? Contests start at just $1. You can't say you don't want to spend the money. It's $1 to play fantasy baseball, and you can win some real money on FanDuel if you play Kurt Casale when your gut tells you to play Kurt Casale. Also, listen to Heath and Chris on the Daily Fantasy Live podcast. They will give you lineup advice every day. Now, FanDuel has a great offer for you if you use our promo code, which is HOMERUN. The promo code, again, is HOMERUN with no spaces. You sign up today, enter your first league with that promo code. Either win a cash prize in that league or FanDuel will automatically refund your entry fee up to $10 for additional play. Go to FanDuel.com, click the microphone in the upper right-hand corner, sign up with our promo code HOMERUN, and you will get that awesome offer on FanDuel.com. I want to read some emails here. This is from Graham in Baltimore. Dear Frank, Mitch, and Bernard. Come on. Great movie. Great movie. One of the best. Will Ferrell's in it.
Old School?
Old School.
Okay.
That is an outstanding movie.
Yes.
Why the hate on Fernando Rodney in the rankings?
He's not good.
Expand.
I mean, you can read the rest of the email if you want, but we've done this with Fernando Rodney. Like, all the peripherals are good right now, but we're still talking about a 38-year-old who doesn't have... He's kind of a two-pitch pitcher.
He's a closer. What does he have to... Have four pitches? That's what closers have. They have two pitches.
Two pitches enough for a closer.
Sure. It hasn't been enough for Fernando Rodney in recent years.
I think if he reads the rest of the email, though, the amount of hate for Fernando Rodney is a little bit strong in the rankings.
Yes.
I moved him up two more spots today, not because of him, but because I moved two guys below him. And so I have him 22nd in my closer rankings now. I don't think that's hating on Fernando Rodney.
Who did you move behind Fernando Rodney?
Tolleson.
Uh-huh. Yep.
And I don't remember who the other one was. It was Tolleson for sure. And I think also it was either Jeffress or Madsen. I've got both of them behind Rodney. I had one of them ahead of him.
I mean, I never
I think he's one of the less interesting closers. But like Al has him 38th. Yeah, that's too low. Like there, you would not rather own a guy who's not getting saves than Fernando Rodney, because Fernando Rodney is at least helping you right now.
But I know Al thinks that Fernando Rodney is a good candidate to lose his job because he just doesn't believe in him, and it makes sense. I mean, the guy walks so many guys. His whip is always really high, and that makes him vulnerable. But when you've gone on this type of run, giving up like one earned run so far this year, I think, and you zero earned runs, one run, you haven't blown a save in 10 chances, you give yourself a pretty long leash. Just like Steve Cishek, who had a bad weekend, but we're not worried yet because he's given himself a long leash. And Cishek and Rodney are two guys who struggled and then got traded to a new team and then did well. Like, you scoffed at, Heath actually laughed at me when I mentioned that Rodney did well with the Cubs last year. You went,
It was hilarious because all you had to say was, what was he, the number one closer in fantasy baseball in 2014?
Probably, yeah.
And if not number one, then top two in 2012.
Right. No, he's had good years recently.
At least two of the last 4 years, he's been a top two or three closer. He's 48 saves both those years, 0.60 ERA 1 year. I agree with Chris. I don't think he's particularly good, but he's better than our rankings indicate.
Okay. This is an email from I don't have a name on this one. The guy says, maybe it's a girl. Hi, Dorothy, Rose, Blanche, and Sophia.
Thank you for being a friend.
Yeah, you don't know old school, but we know the Golden Girls. You keep warning about the drop-off for Felix Hernandez. I've taken the advice and I'm trying to trade Felix in my 14-team mixed league. I can't find a buyer. What tier of player would you want in return for Felix Hernandez? One hitter, one pitcher.
I don't think I've been warning about the drop-off, so I think my tier is going to be too high. So I wouldn't give Felix away.
Well, that's the thing, is that if you're going to trade him because the service numbers look so good, the whole point is that you would need a pretty good player,
right,
in return.
I wouldn't trade him for like a Waka level pitcher. I wouldn't trade him for Maeda. I wouldn't trade him for Aaron Nola.
What about Carlos Martinez?
That's right in the range where I would start considering it. But I still have Felix ranked higher than Carmart.
What about a hitter? Would you need like a top 20 hitter? Would you trade him for a Jose Abreu?
If I could get Jose Abreu for him, I would.
I would. I am a little worried about Jose Abreu.
All right, Heath, let's talk about Jose Abreu. This is one of the guys that I wanted to get to. I didn't know if we'd have time. Very interesting stats that I looked up this morning on Baseball Reference and Baseball Heat Maps. He's got like the sixth best average fly ball distance in baseball. Yet his home run to fly ball rate is extremely low. I don't get how that is possible. Explain to me why you're nervous about Jose Abreu and what that means to you, those stats.
Well, we saw a kind of a little bit of a different Jose Abreu for most of last year.
Yeah.
I feel like the power certainly dropped off, and it's dropped off a lot more this year. Now, I hadn't seen the average fly ball rate, and that is a little bit encouraging. It sounds like maybe he should have a couple more home runs than he does.
And he's not hitting more ground balls either. So he's hitting balls farther.
It's not just his home runs that are down, though. His doubles are down. The power numbers across the board. The biggest debate internally I've had with myself is whether I want to leave Abreu ahead of Eric Hosmer. Because I thought there was a huge gap between those two coming into the year. And I don't think anybody can argue that gap hasn't at least shrunk.
Yeah.
If either one of those two hitters, like if Abreu's who we thought he was and Hosmer's who he's been the last month, then Hosmer's better than him.
Well,
if Hosmer's who he thought he was and Abreu is who he's been the last month, then we want Hosmer.
No, I see.
So
I take
both
this
of them
approach.
Have to regress.
I'll take this approach. Only one of those guys, I think, has the potential to go on a ridiculous power streak and just be one of the best hitters in baseball for a month. And that's Abreu. And if you still believe in Abreu, then that might very well be coming. And, I mean, I say the same thing about Paul Goldschmidt, which is why I don't necessarily know that Jose Altuve is a top three hitter. If you're going to put Trout and Harper ahead of him, I still think Goldschmidt has so much ground to make up. He's still Paul Goldschmidt. And I would bet from this day forward, Paul Goldschmidt is a better fantasy player than Jose Altuve. And it's the same argument I would make in this Abreu versus Hosmer discussion. There's regression coming for Abreu. I think he's just going to go on a tear.
This is the challenge with early season analysis, is finding the difference between what a player has been and what a player is likely to be. And now we have both the surface level batting average, on base percentage, slugging percentage, counting stat numbers, but we also have these deeper level numbers, hard hit rate, home run to fly ball ratio, all this stuff that we're going with.
Right.
And even in the deeper level stuff, the home run to fly ball ratio, the batted ball velocity from StatCast, all that stuff indicates that Paul Goldschmidt not just hasn't been Paul Goldschmidt so far, Paul Goldschmidt hasn't been all that good so far.
There's no reason to think he won't be, though. There's no reason.
That's exactly, and it's the same thing with Abreu. There's no underlying physical reason to believe that what they've been so far is who they will be moving forward. However, you do have to take it into account and work that into your whatever your model is for these players.
I guess, but this is the same conversation we had last Thursday, where it's like, how often when there's not an injury do these guys not bounce back? And we talked about Adam Jones, and since then, Adam Jones is no longer a buy low candidate because he's hot. You know what I mean? It's so. With Goldschmidt in particular, you can make the case for Abreu because he's been a different player three times in 2 years. You know, first half of his rookie year was completely different than the second half of his rookie year, whatever. But Goldschmidt, I mean, the guy is going to go freaking crazy soon, and it might have started last night.
Oh, I think Goldschmidt's going to be a top 10 fantasy value the rest of the year for sure. And the difference with Altuve is Goldschmidt could score 10 more fantasy points than Altuve the rest of the year, and Altuve is a much better fantasy value.
Why?
Because there's 7 or 8 good first basemen, and there's like 4 good second basemen.
I mean, that is true, but second base is a deeper position, I think, at the
position because like 5 through 14 are all the same.
Yeah, yeah. You make sense with what you're saying there in terms of just elite players at the position.
I like that like tiny little shot you took at Rougned Odor. Thought I wouldn't catch that.
I just assumed you wouldn't even notice it because you think Odor's second at second base.
You do, Chris?
I think he's really good.
You think he's better than Cano?
No. Maybe. I don't know. Maybe.
He's pretty good.
I don't know.
Hey, we got an email referencing Rougned Odor. Hey, Ali, Tyson, and Odor. You guys always seem to get the most intense banter going when it's not a baseball-related question. So in the spirit of making Adam a contrarian, what was the best childhood snack? My vote is fruit by the foot or Dunkaroos. And in a less contentious baseball question, who do you think will have the biggest change in perception, positive to negative, from now and season's end? All right, which one do you guys want to handle first, guys, the snack or the baseball question?
I think we should start with the snack. Fruit by the foot's pretty much garbage.
No, it's not. But
I mean, Heath usually has bad opinions. I agree with him on this one.
It's not garbage, but compared to a fruit roll-up, it is complete garbage, because fruit roll-up is the answer there.
Yeah.
It's what is it even?
What, a fruit roll-up?
Yeah.
It's artificial.
What are you putting in your mouth?
Artificial greatness.
Yes. I will say there's one snack that both when I was a kid and still as an adult, we don't really even keep in our house because either me or one of my two sons will just eat them all in one sitting. And that is Uncrustables.
What are those? I've never even heard of those.
You've never had Uncrustables? Oh, they are.
Just make a dang peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
I don't have to, Chris. Somebody already did it for me.
That's disgusting.
Somebody already did for me, and they put it in the freezer. And they the problem is you'll eat like 5 of them, and they only come in a box of 4.
You'll eat like 5 of them.
And a big glass of milk.
Who wrote this email? Do we have a name?
This is. No, what?
No
I'll
name.
Find it. I'll find
Adam,
it. Well,
Adam didn't keep the name.
I'll find it. Sorry.
Whoever wrote this email is 100% correct in putting Dunkaroos on the list. Dunkaroos are an incredible snack. Dunkaroos win the day.
This is Steven, by the way.
I don't think I've ever had Dunkaroos.
They're Dunkaroos little, are good, but they're like, not. They're Chris is overrating them immensely.
Don't listen to Adam.
Like, Airheads just are better.
Adam's
Fruit Roll-Ups
mic.
Are better. Gushers so
you,
are better.
You like these chemical creations yeah, that aren't actual yeah. really food.
Turn off Adam's mic and let someone who knows what they're talking about speak.
Biggest
Dunkaroos
shape.
Are like little like graham cracker cookies
uh-huh.
and just a little tub of icing.
Yeah,
that's
no, they're great. I love
they're
Dunkaroos.
Amazing. It's so good.
Biggest change in perception, positive to negative, rest of season.
How down are we on, positive to negative?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So I guess this is like a sell high candidate. I think it's going to be Mark Trumbo. But there's probably a better guy than that. That's just the first one that came to
my problem with Mark Trumbo is I don't know that anybody, like, I still don't feel like his value has been elevated enough to where.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
Yeah, like you could say Daniel Murphy, but again, nobody believes it.
You're right.
Odubel Herrera.
Oh yeah.
Is any? I mean, are we buying it? It's completely out of nowhere, like so insanely out of nowhere. What Odubel Herrera is doing right now, especially with the getting on base. Like we're talking about a guy in the minors who had like a 7.3% walk percentage. In the majors, he had a 5.4% walk percentage, and all of a sudden he's at 17.1%. That's nuts. There's no way he keeps this up.
I will just continue my trolling and say Trevor Story.
It wouldn't shock me, Heath.
I don't think there is like this. I don't think there are that many people who think Trevor Story is a stud. I think there are just as many people who are really skeptical of him.
But you think he's a top five shortstop?
I think he's better than Gene Segura.
Corey Seager was the question.
What?
Corey Seager was the question. That we had this discussion last week, and you said we couldn't take Seager over Story because there was value in having already done it.
Okay.
Seager, yeah,
I think that's fair.
I think okay. Seager's coming alive a little bit now. Am I wrong about
oh,
that?
Oh, yeah, he's definitely come alive.
Yeah. All right, next email is from Isaac. We read Isaac's. This was the Chris Herman question. This next email is from Kyle. Brian Dozier was recently dropped in my 12-team mixed league. Should I drop Starlin Castro, Trey Turner, or Jason Kipnis for Dozier or leave him on waivers? Is Dozier done?
I can't believe that Dozier's done. I would drop any of those guys for him, but probably Castro. If you're going to have Dozier, Kipnis, and Turner on your team, there's like you have Turner for the upside. There's no reason to have Castro.
I think I'd drop Turner though, and if I had to start two of them, because I wouldn't want to start Dozier right now. I'd rather start Castro. You know?
Yeah, I'd rather start Dozier
over Castro.
I don't think what's happened over, like, I don't think it's likely that Starlin Castro is better over the next 2 weeks than Brian Dozier.
I do, just because Dozier's hurt.
Okay.
But I mean, if they were both healthy, I could see your point for sure. Ryan in Livermore, California. I've never heard of Livermore, California. Says, hey, Tom, Jimmy, and Barry. This one I don't know. Tom, Jimmy, and Barry. I've had Devin Travis in one of my DL spots all season. Would you drop Marcus Semien for Travis once he's activated? And what is your level of excitement or lack thereof for Travis?
I'm not sure I would drop Semien for him. Travis had that one really awesome month, but it was kind of way outside of what we had come to expect based on his minor league numbers. So I don't think I would.
Yeah,
I
was
really
actually
feel like we should know Tom, Jimmy, and Barry.
I just looked it up, but there's absolutely nothing.
It's got to be something to do with the Giants, doesn't it?
I don't think so.
I don't know. Like he's in California, Barry Bonds.
Yeah.
Oh, the San Francisco Giants.
Yes, not the New York Giants. Okay. If Adam had sent the email, then I would thought it was the New York Giants.
I was saying Barry Gibbs.
I'm confused by my excitement of Travis. Oh, did we even mention that Jimmy Paredes got picked up?
No, we didn't. Toronto.
I thought that was really interesting. If the Blue Jays, if Jimmy Paredes is going to go anywhere and have a good half a season, it would be Toronto.
Well, somebody's going to have to hit for them. One more email here. This is from David. Where is Miguel Sano in your third base rankings now that he's third base eligible, which, by the way, completely escaped me? He's got his fifth appearance, and Sano is third base eligible. Where would you put Miguel Sano?
This is an interesting question because I'm going to have to do that in the next little bit. I did not. Did he get that appearance last night?
Last night or the day before, I believe.
He's going to go in the Gong Franco Beltre range. I don't know right off the top of my head which of those, where he fits in that group. Behind Matt Carpenter, ahead of Daniel Murphy.
Okay, what about Nick Castellanos or Miguel Sano? When are we going to start buying this? Is he homered again? And he's batting 348 with 8 home runs.
I keep moving about my rankings. I've got him at 14 now, right behind Seager and Moustakas. I can't put him ahead of those two until he does this for another month.
That makes sense.
The weird thing with him is he's not – all he's doing differently is the direction in which he's hitting the ball in terms of, like, he's hitting a lot more fly balls and he's making more hard contact. And everything else about his game is the same, but – that's a pretty big change, like improving your rate of fly balls and the amount of hard contact you're making is a really good thing to do. He's never going to be a walks guy. He's never going to have great plate discipline, but the fact that he's being able to do this and not hitting infield fly balls is a really good sign for his ability to sustain this power.
Castellanos last 81 games of 2015. So basically half a season. He didn't play a full 162, but last 81 games, he had an 804 OPS. He hit 275 with 11 home runs, 22 homer pace. It's nothing special, but he did have a good, solid second half.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Where do you get these numbers from?
Baseball Reference.
How do you do it over multiple? Because you've done this, I think, over multiple seasons.
Over multiple seasons?
Like, since this point last year, this guy is here. Since the All-Star break.
No, you've done that. I do just within one season, this stretch of games.
I was trying to do a split the other day, just like looking at since the All-Star break, including this year, and I couldn't do it. I couldn't figure it out. No, if somebody out there can figure that out, I would love it.
I can't do that either. I mean, you have to actually do the math. You could sit down.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. No.
The thing with Nick Castellanos that's really interesting is because the Tigers have been so aggressive with their promotions, it's really easy to forget that he's only 24 years old and like just turned 24. It feels like he's been around for a really long time and we kind of wrote him off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In a way that maybe wasn't fair given his youth. I'm still having trouble buying it, but in 153 games over the last 365 days, he has a 797 OPS. It's worth pointing that out.
How'd you figure that out?
That's right on Baseball Reference.
Oh, okay.
20 homers, 90 RBI in 153 games over the last 365 days.
So some leftovers from yesterday, guys. I think we got to talk about Jose Berríos and Sean Manaea. I'll just give you all the somewhat fringy guys who pitched yesterday. Berríos, 81% owned. Eichhoff, quality start, wasn't that great against the Marlins, 72% owned. Derek Holland, 36%. John Neese, 44%. Sean Manaea, 41%. Robbie Ray, 28%. Berríos, Eichhoff, Holland, Neese, Manaea, Ray.
Thank you for not mentioning John Lamb either.
Yeah, no, I think we could be done with him. Who do you want from that list? Your top two from that list, and are they, you know, really worth owning?
My top two from that list probably includes Jared Eichhoff and maybe Robbie Ray. Even that, like, Robbie Ray was going against a Yankees team that has been really pretty mediocre against left-handed pitching.
Bad against lefties.
Bottom 10.
I think they're bottom five now, and they didn't even have A-Rod. They didn't have a DH, so no, they're absolutely great matchup for him.
Yeah. But, you know, Robbie Ray, the strikeout rate is really good. The walk rate is really bad. He has these flashes. Him and Ruby De La Rosa are kind of similar guys in that when they look good, they look really good, and when they look bad, they look really bad. But the rest of this group's just so unappealing that it's probably Eichhoff and Ray.
even the prospects, even Minaya and Barrios, not like, would you want to hold on to them and see where it goes?
Look, if you're holding on to them, but if I'm starting someone, if I need someone who's going to fill in my starting rotation, I'm not using Barrios or Minaya.
I used Barrios in a couple of leagues this week because he's a two-start pitcher, and Detroit strikes out a ton against right-handed pitchers, and he couldn't get out of the first. Minaya and Barrios are better. Eichhoff's number one, and it's not questionable. Minaya and Barrios are better stashes than Ray. But as Chris said, I'd feel much more comfortable starting Ray next week.
Yep. How about Heath putting up a negative 12.5 points yesterday?
Not great.
In the podcast league. Facing, you knocked me out of first place in one podcast league, Heath. I hope you don't do it again this week. So far, I'm off to a better start than you.
I don't know how things could be any worse.
Yeah, really. You had Barrios and John Lamb yesterday.
Yeah, started them both, and they were really, really good.
Let's see what else from you. I have a lot of things that I wanted to get to, but I feel like I want to dedicate more time to them, and we're sort of out of time. So how about Marcus Semien, who we did talk about, you know, whether or not you drop him for Devin Travis. 55% owned. He is now the number 13 shortstop in points, number 14 in Roto. Now he's batting .220, that batting average climbing a little bit, but 10 home runs, and a very good, for him, walk-to-strikeout ratio, 16 walks, 32 strikeouts. Last year it was 42 walks to 132 strikeouts. What are you seeing from Semien? Is this real progress?
I would hesitate to say that it's real progress. He's got a 960 OPS against left-handed pitching. He's hitting 206 against righties. Mm. He's walking more than he's striking out against lefties, but he's still got a 27% K rate against righties. He's going to face a lot more righties than he does lefties. He plays in a terrible park. I have a hard, like, he's a fine middle infield option in Roto League.
Yeah.
But I don't see him as anything more, and I'm kind of done hoping that we get more than that.
All right.
I think that's fair.
Want to look up how many, let's see who's leading the league in at bats against lefties in terms of teams. The Yankees, which is another reason why I like Mark Teixeira as a buy low, because he's better against righties and lefties.
You know, if we keep this podcast going long enough, we'll have a whole slew of reasons to like Mark Teixeira.
Oakland hasn't had that many. They are 21st in at-bats against lefties. So hopefully more to come for Oakland. Or maybe they just don't have that many lefties in their division. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, the Astros have...
Keuchel,
that's it. And he's probably going to dominate Semien most of the time. The Mariners have Miley.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The Angels, who knows who's even in their rotation. And the Rangers have Hamels. So, like, the lefties he's
and
going
Holland.
To fit. And Martina, Martin Perez as well.
Yeah, they have three.
Yeah. So that might, like, when he plays the Rangers.
There you go. Yay. Bingo. That's it for today's show. Chris, Heath, thank you. That was a fun show. What'd you guys think?
It was really good until you started. Like, you got me in such a bad mood at the end of the show.
Why?
I'm not sure how I'm even going to get to my desk.
Because of the Sarah thing or because of your podcast league team?
Because of how my podcast league team. Did you see my tweet yesterday about my head-to-head auction team?
Can I just, like...
No, I didn't.
Nobody likes that guy.
Okay.
It's the worst
collection of players ever.
Did you see my tweet guy?
Oh, yeah.
That guy.
He didn't see it.
I didn't see it, no.
It's the worst collection of bad players ever.
I'm sorry to hear that. It's a mixed league?
What's that?
It's a mixed league?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dozier, Rendon, Tulo, Cargo, JD Martinez, Upton, Price, Carmart, all the guys that suck.
Yeah. Well, our real Roto draft, I knew I didn't like my team when I drafted it. That team's so bad. I'm not used to having teams this bad in any sport. This is really weird. The only teams that are doing worse than me in this Roto league are the teams that haven't made any transactions since the draft. So
at least thank God for those teams.
I know, right? Yeah. It's good stuff. So I'll try to rip them off in a trade or something like that and get back in it. To Heath Cummings and Chris Towers, I thank you very much. To all you listeners, thank you for listening. And we're back tomorrow. See if we can grade some trades, talk baseball on the Wednesday edition of Fantasy Baseball Today.